After this session, we'll have our monthly, regularly scheduled board meeting. All right. Suffering. First thing to recognize is that everybody's going to suffer. People all over the earth are suffering. A lot of it is because of their own misbehavior. A lot of it. The overwhelming part of it, probably, has to do with human misconduct. And they suffer the consequences. They reap what they sow. The believer in Jesus Christ has the opportunity to turn sufferings into things that are beneficial. But while under suffering, the mental attitude towards suffering that the believer possesses, first of all, in the midst of your trials, you can have inner peace. And inner peace is a dynamic. It's like any of the other fruit of the Spirit. This is supernatural. People can be at peace with things. People can get their minds in a certain place with regard to things. But we're talking about divine blessing of an inner dynamic that is yours in the midst of your trials. You can actually have peace in the midst of the storm, like the eye of a hurricane. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me is positional sanctification or union with Christ, as per our diagram. You may have peace. You notice this is a subjunctive. It isn't guaranteed that you're going to have it. You have to have the right attitude in the midst of your trials and tribulations. You got to get yourself in that place by getting in fellowship and bringing up the scripture and the doctrine so that you may have peace in the cosmos. The cosmos is significant because it's a hostile environment. It may put on a friendly face. It benefits us in so many ways. But the general cosmos is hostile to the plan of God. That's just the way it is. They can be hostile and be nice and polite, or hostile and not. But in any case, it's the cosmos. Hostility is a characteristic of negative volition. You may be hostile, but not, you know, put on some big scene. So that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. And again, that comes from a variety of sources. Source of people, source of circumstances. Tribulation, the basic Greek word, means pressure. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I've overcome the world. And that's what we have to recognize. We are overcomers. And that's one of the titles for believers, overcomers. It's in the book of Revelation. We are overcomers. All believers are, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, and they've overcome the doom that falls on those who are outside the plan of God. I've overcome the cosmos. Now he's looking to the future. The cosmos are going to get its licks in. The cosmos threw at Jesus what it threw at him. Nothing more, nothing less. And he set an example of how you bear up under the most extreme attack and abuse, mentally, verbally, physically. How you deal with that. Because they, the antagonists, they cannot touch your vital interests. They can take away your property. Believers have had that happen. They can even take away your life. And that's all they can do. That's all they can do. Well, that may not sound attractive, but if that's the road you a believer is to walk down, that's the road you go down. Knowing that you put yourself in a position to die with honor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as many martyrs have through time. We haven't had any martyrs in Maranatha Church yet. Things continue. We will. But I'm counting on we're out of here in September. Because if we're not, because that's the 25th, that's the Feast of Trumpets, one Tishri Jewish, and they say this is a sabbatical year, then we're going to have to wait another 7 years. And I just don't, honestly, see our world in the spiral, the death spiral that it is in, with war and viruses and whatevers. I just don't see this continuing for another 7. This doesn't make sense. I know God can do anything, and I understand that. So, we will probably have a pretty tumultuous summer. They're projecting that it will be. Of course, they're humans, and a lot of things can happen. This isn't going to be just another hot summer, temperature-wise. It's going to be hot in more ways than one as we wind down to the end. But we'll just stay where we're at here at Maranatha. The rest of them out there, that, you know, we can pray that God will bring positive volition our way, and that the gospel will be proclaimed to all the nations and people here and all the rest that might be anywhere on this earth that are positive. But for those of you who have hung in there, I hope for the right reasons. You're here because you believe in what's being taught. Not here because this is the lesser of two evils. What's that? You're here out of conviction. The conviction that this is the truth. I found the truth. This is where I'm at. And I got my eyes on God, on His Word, and not on people. I've had to deal with that test. So, inner peace. People have told me, and I've experienced it. I have experienced in the midst of a severe test an inner peace that is supernatural. Supernatural. That comes upon you like boom. Philippians 4, again, 6 and 7. That's familiar to us all. This is a commandment. Now, I don't fulfill this all the time, okay? Just so you know. And I don't suspect you probably do either. But at least you understand that when you are in a situation that is bringing pressure upon your soul, whatever the threat is, we're not to wring our hands. We're not to count our worry beads. We don't have them, but I'm just joking. Okay, it's supposed to be a joke. Some of these people got these beads, you know, and they're going to count them. Be anxious for nothing. So if you need something, you're in a situation, whatever it is, you're not to be anxious. You're to have what we call the RMA, the relaxed mental attitude. God's in control. He's going to deal with this. I have to be exhorted from time to time. It'll be okay, Jack. Hopefully that exhortation is based on that person's frame of reference that God's going to work this out. Got you through everything else. It's not going to drop the ball now. And then all of a sudden in a situation that's a pressure to your soul, it isn't depending on you. You're to be anxious for nothing. You're out of work. You got a health test. On and on and on the list goes. Got a marital test. You got a this. We are to be anxious for nothing. Instead of sitting around under anxiety and popping pills or doing shots of tequila or whatever people do, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is more intense prayer. Prayer is just anything. Father, thank you for this food. Blah, blah, blah. That's just basic prayer. Supplication is more of an entreaty, more of an intense thing, like a child, you know, that's in a situation and is making a strong appeal to his parent for help or something. I've fallen, or I've this or that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. This has to be thrown into the recipe. What'd you leave out of the recipe? I left out salt. Well, that killed it. In some recipes, it's the tiniest amount of salt will make a difference. The tiniest amount. When I make my French toast, the stuff I stick my bread in before I put it in the pan, when I make my French toast, it says just a little. So I just have a little touch of it and I throw it in the thing. I think it makes a difference. Well, anyway, Thanksgiving is in the midst of all of it. You got things to be thankful for. Starting with your salvation, and you get a whole list of things that you can express your gratefulness to God for. In the midst of all my trials, as a pastor, functioning as one, I'm thankful for those of you who are here. Not just here, but you. You may not do anything that it's just your moral support. It's in your eyes. It's in your expressions. And you may be kind of an introvert. Okay, fine, but you express your appreciation. And all of you who have stepped up and taken up the slack with regard to this property and the administration of this church, from deacons on down, very grateful, very thankful. Somebody's plugged in all of them. I can think of certain cases we didn't have even a plug in there, where would we be? But somebody has plugged in, stepped up, and we're getting it done. We're a body. We're functioning. We're not, you know. Yes, we may have instances where we may not. We got to figure out who we're going to put in the media room to operate it at a given time. Shuffle around a little bit, but all these things, if you're observant, they've been provided for. We had to get new nursery personnel. Added another person. They're not just standing on every corner out here wanting a job here. We're strict in who we're gonna put back there with those babies. So, those are things that I am very thankful for every day. So we've done the same with less. We're not struggling financially. No, we're not making big gains and adding money to it. But the cushion has been there. And everything we need, God will supply it. So, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, that's another way of saying, go before the throne of grace and let your requests be made known to God. Now, God already knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. But the point is, you're supposed to do it. So you do it. See, this is the language of accommodation a little bit here. Let your requests be made known to God. Like you would a person if you were asking them for help. You let them know what your need is and if they can help you with this, so forth. So, as the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. That's one way prayer is shut down. You just didn't pray about it. So we have the ultimate source. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. That's why I say it's supernatural. People have told me in situations that were really threatening or difficult, they said, I just had peace. And if you've never been there, well, it's very wonderful. It's supernatural to have peace in the midst of a situation. Because you know God is in control, and He has your best interests at heart as a positive believer. He will guard or garrison. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, positional sanctification. That's your guard. It's your guard. This peace is a guard against what? Falling apart. Hitting the panic button. On and on it goes with people. Hysterical, running around, trying to fix things. Know when to let go and let God. All right. Inner happiness. I'll do James 1:2. That was well. This is basically a mental attitude. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various testings or trials. How can you consider it all joy? Because it's a positive thing, and if it's a positive thing, it should bring you some happiness, some plus H. There's human happiness, obviously. I'll call it minus H, because it can be overturned in a minute if something goes afoul. Human happiness. Life is good, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but one thing comes along, and it's not there then. They're not deriving happiness from the circumstances and the details of life. Because they're under this cloud. But we're to consider it all joy. We're to break free of all this. When you encounter a variety of trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is resonant doctrine in the soul will be tested to see if you are going to carry on or implode in the worst case scenario, produces endurance. What's endurance? So you can get up and go through the next round and move forward to the end. We read that one. So inner happiness, moving on. You must be willing to hang in there, make up your mind. Okay, this is a test. It's got somehow going to work for my good. Excuse me. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. These are just let's throw out a bunch of exhortations here. Suffering produces the virtue of patience. Okay, we got that. Patience is necessary so that you can bear up under the next round and move forward to the end. Suffering and surpassing grace blessing in eternity, SG3. Suffering and testing of the Christian way of life, which we pass, accumulates our SG3 account. That's another positive. There's a temporal positive, and that is the endurance factor to reach the end, to wrap this up. And like I'm saying, I can't see our world just rocking along like it's been for the last however long with the way things are going. It's so accelerated. But we're not to be upset. We observe it. And we'll carry on and we'll follow the formula. Let's just do one day at a time. Let's not talk about next month, next year. Let's just do one day at a time. What you got on your plate today? Do that. Yes, you got concerns about, well, next week I got disappointment. I got this and this. I understand that. But concern yourself with today. As Jesus said, tomorrow will take care of itself. Focus on what you need to do today to glorify God and to keep the right mental attitude. And when you fail, you know what to do. You know what to do. You flunk a test or you're into it and you're not doing well, you know what to do to pull it back in line. Excuse me. My throat. Those who remain positive under various tests and sufferings associated with the body of death reap surpassing grace blessing. Of course, this means a lot to me in my old age. And that is the test that is associated with growing old and the CHPs associated with aging. And you don't have to be old and advanced in age in order to have problems with the temporal house of our body. What do I got here? Okay. Wrong verse. You might not believe this when you're going through a really big test. But this is what it says. Well, I'll read 16:2. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, that's your old aging gene and all the associated phenomena, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That's the intake and exposure to Bible doctrine. And you have been having, we've been having this together for all these decades. The renewal of the inner man. Because you need to have the inner man renewed. A lot of people, they're spending a lot of time and money and effort trying to set back the aging clock. I understand their motivation. So they're buying supplements. They've got various studies, why we age and what to do to keep this going. But for us, the primary thing is the inner man, the new you. The outer man, that's the body. The real you, that's the soul. The inner man, that's the human spirit. And the old self is the STA. The inner man is being renewed day by day for momentary light affliction. Momentary light affliction. Okay, let's do momentary. Momentary means that it's reserved for the temporal realm. It's only going to be in this lifetime. That's why it's momentary. And with the passage of time, it'll all go away. Momentary light affliction. Now, you may not think that some of these believers here in this church or others you have observed, that what they went through is light affliction. But it is. It's a blip on the radar screen. It could be the big monster health test. But it's light. It is for phase two. It's light affliction. Sometimes some believers, I see what they go through, and I'm amazed. Their mental attitude is so good. They keep it in line. They keep it in perspective. And that's the product of Bible doctrine. It's not just some stoic approach or the British stiff upper lip. It's not that. Yeah, you can get certain psychological things going on. This is a light affliction. This too will pass. Is producing for us an eternal weight. Now that means something really heavy of glory. So get the factors. It's not just a wonderful period of a few thousand years. It is eternal. And it's a weight. It's heavy. Not that it's burdensome. It's just a heavy weight of glory. The weight part might seem to be a negative, but it isn't. You'll be able to enjoy your SG3 account in phase three, and that's where I run into a brick wall. I cannot explain to you what it is. I can explain the temporal realm. This is a good glass of champagne. This is a good whatever. I can explain those things. I can point to those things. But the SG3 factor, I'm very limited in what I can point to. I know we're going to rule and reign with Christ during the 1,000 years over the nations. And you'll have a position in that reign commensurate with your phase two performance. That I can kind of understand because I see people overseeing and oversight over things. So in your resurrection body, you will have a position in the kingdom of God where we rule and reign with Christ. We don't just sit around and twiddle our thumbs. You know. We are, I guess you could say, we are civil servants. And we go out there and we're responsible for jurisdiction and observation over a city. This is the rule, the rod of iron. That doesn't mean it's an oppressive dictatorship. It means that if there's certain things people do, they're dead. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Oh, they'll get a fair trial. So he will smash them like having a steel rod and hitting a piece of pottery. They're not going to pull these stunts in the millennium. They're not going to run around and do these high crimes and carry on. There'll be no funny banking system. No funny money benefiting the super rich and producing inflation in the population and shrinking the value of a dollar bill so that a gallon of milk today is way more expensive than it was in 1970. Why? Because we don't have as many cows? Yeah, well, that's an economics class, supply and demand. If they don't have the supply, then they can charge higher for it. But then there's the kind of inflation they never explain in an economics course as far as I went to. And I had a person here who went to school, was an accountant and everything. Fractional reserve banking. He said, what's that? It's where a bank, local bank, I don't know what the rules are today, can loan out X amount over what they actually have on hand. The banks can do that. They can loan what they don't technically have on hand by a factor of whatever. So we took our whole monetary system and we put it in the hands of private individuals called the Federal Reserve System. And they can determine how much money to print or to create out of thin air. Fiat currency. And when they do that, it produces inflation. I mean, you gave everybody $1 billion, it wouldn't be worth anything. Because everything that you bought would be so darn expensive, it'd be off the charts. And there's other reasons for inflation. So there'll be no funny banking system. There were people in our government that fought against this, but eventually this system, one president fought against it, Andrew Jackson. He called him a den of thieves, that he was going to rid him. But see, it was from Europe, particularly in England, and that banking system over there. And they wanted to get their hooks in us, and they did eventually. 1913, with the Federal Reserve System and the graduated income tax. And we had leaders back then that betrayed us and betrayed the Constitution. Like Woodrow Wilson. He admitted it in his memoirs. I feel I have betrayed my people. He signed off on this thing. So Somebody says, you do that, you create the biggest monopoly on earth. We had congressmen that spoke out against it, articulated against it. Henry Ford, Ford Motor Company, he said, if the American people in his day understood the nature of our banking system, there'd be a revolution by tomorrow. And heads would roll. But we never got rid of that scum. And then they buy all these people and get in control. So now it's completely out of control. One world currency. Oh, boy, that wonderful. See, that's where everything's headed, down this path. And so anyway, we just have to deal with it. So anyway, back to this. Producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. You can't compare it to anything. SG3 cannot be compared to anything. It's way above that. While we look not at the things which are seen. No, I look at the things that are seen. But that what he means here is they don't take precedence, the things that are seen. But at the things which are not seen, that is with the natural eye. For the things which are seen are temporal. Where are all the great kingdoms of antiquity? Maybe we have some of their artifacts. That's about it. Those kingdoms, all the people that made it up, all the glory of those kingdoms, gone. Gone. And this is the pattern for the nations on earth today. It's all passing away. That's temporal. These things are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, that's that simple. Hard to comprehend. What are we going to do forever? That's the surprise. That you got to wait and see until you get there. Tell me all about this. No, you're going to have to get there first. And then you'll begin, then we can appreciate it. If we saw it and could absorb it now, we'd probably be so damn miserable it wouldn't be funny. It's tough enough waiting for this. But if you could anticipate it all now, but you can't get a hold of it. It's better just to go by faith and say, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, a report, is not entered into the fantasy or imagination of man, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And you take the lowest level believer, that all their only love they showed is I believe in Jesus Christ. Boom, they go live their life as unto themselves, to the believer that's at the top. Because God is fair, and he will reward people according to their attitude towards his plan. All right? Our present sufferings pale when compared to phase 3 glory. Again, the temporal factor. Even if you suffer for decades with some kind of an ailment, or you're denied something legitimate because that's not in the plan for you, it's a sacrifice you make. That's all for a temporal period, and we reap so much more than we put into it, it isn't even funny. A lot of people for $1 million would suffer a lot. If you just say, here's $1 million. Now, here's $1 million. Now, here's what you're going to have to suffer. A lot of people would line right up for that to get their payday. And that's just $1 million. Well, I say just $1 million. That's all it is. It's just $1 million. You can go buy a nice car. Don't get too nice of a house. You know? So we'll resume there. I'll let you go. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us in Jesus' name. Amen.